This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Place to Be Nation Sports Network 2.0. I was told 2.0 is a big deal. This is the Cowboy, Roger Morissette. Have John D'Amato on the line. How you doing, John?
I'm great. 2.0 it is.
2.0.
For obvious reasons, that's why you brought me in. I'm carrying 2.0,
fortunately. It's a large 2.0, though, so just have to catch it, you know, the light hits it the right way, 2.0 it is.
You're too kind.
So, it's our weekly football show that we're going to do. I call it weekly. I'm going to make every effort. John and I are going to make every effort to do this weekly, so this is a follow-up to our big NFL preview that we did with Nick Duke. Nick couldn't make it tonight, so you just have John and the Cowboy, which...
That's a lot of pressure. That's like a job to show up to once a week. I don't know if I can handle that, but we'll do our best.
We'll do our best. I hate to overpromise and underdeliver, so that's why I said hopefully weekly. Definitely monthly. I think I can commit to monthly. How about you, John?
Oh, yeah. Overpromise and underdeliver. Once again, you brought the right guy on. That's the story of my life.
But, yeah, we had a real exciting first week of the NFL. So what we're going to do here, we're going to go over the games, and then we're going to take a look at week two starting. So we're taping this on Wednesday night. We're about a little under 24 hours out from the big Thursday night game, I guess. Kind of put that in quotation marks with Ravens, Bengals. They're both 1-0, so battle of undefeateds. But let's take a look back at the week that was. So we started things out Thursday's game. You know, I think we could spend the whole episode talking about Thursday's game, John. But
definitely.
Why don't you give me your takeaways first, then I'll chime in with any ridiculous thoughts.
Well, first of all, without jumping on any team and the personnel and shitting on the offensive coordinator, which I'm sure will happen later, but the way the NFL is set up now, where nobody plays in the preseason anymore, and you could tell by this first week, especially this first game, where just guys are rusty and teams are sloppy. There was I think there was 26 penalties total. You saw some strange things like Zach Ertz dropping two balls. I haven't seen the guy drop two balls in since he's been in the league. So, just a lot of the new age preseason where nobody plays anymore. It really taken its toll where guys are real rusty, and it was definitely a lack of quality of play. As a matter of fact, the second quarter, and also due to the late start with the Lightning, the second quarter. Mr. Sandman was already kicking my ass. I had to take a little snooze in the second quarter. Luckily, I woke up for the second half. But they pulled it out at the end. It was a very good fourth quarter. It was very competitive and a great finish. A lot of twists and turns and a great finish there.
Dramatic finish. The game. I mean, this game was pretty difficult to watch. I thought, especially, and I think you kind of hit on it, John. With you know, the teams looked rusty. The Eagles offense looked awful with Foles. Like, I mean, they're not going to be able to win a lot of games, I don't think, with that guy playing quarterback. I mean, then, you know, the Falcons, we talked them up last week. I think all three of us were pretty high on them, and it was just so discouraging to see the same issues that they had last year, like the exact same issues that they had last year, just rear their ugly head again with, you know, I think it was pretty poetic that they lost the game inside the 10-yard line again. really bad red zone offense. I don't know what's going on there, but they have to fix it because it's the worst red zone offense I've ever seen. So it certainly didn't look like a battle of two of the NFC's best teams, but we'll chalk it up a little bit to rust and Carson Wentz not playing. And, you know, the Falcons really need to figure something out. You can't – with their defense, especially they lost Nick's defensive – MVP of the NFL, Deion Jones, is now done for at least 6 weeks, right? They put him on IR, and they lost Keanu Neal. So with that defense, field goals aren't going to get it done. So for them to make good on our playoff prediction, they have to figure out how to score some touchdowns.
Yeah, you're always going to get debilitating injuries, and sometimes it's better that you get in the first week so they could jump on a replacement right away. Eric Reed is still out there if they want to deal with the political stuff, which we don't talk about on this show. We keep it we talk about the action that happens after the national anthem, not the stuff before and during. So that's like a name out there that they could sign. So. There's always going to be injuries. You got to deal with it. You can't use that as an excuse. But already you see the Falcons Twitter. Their fans are already calling for the head of the offensive coordinator.
And, Sark.
I mean, yeah, that has a lot to do with it. But I hate when you lose a tough game and fans want to just point to one thing, saying, oh, if we just have a better offensive coordinator, we'll win the game. Or just as we'll go over the games later. The fans just like to point to one player, like whether if it's a left tackle or something. It's to lose a football game. There's about 10 or 15 key plays, and there's a lot of things. But I don't think you're giving the Eagles. You're down on the Eagles. I don't think you give them enough credit. Their defense in front four, and plus they roll in guys. They signed Haloti Nada and Michael Bennett. It's just an addition, and they already had one of the best. Front fours in the league. So I really don't think you're giving them enough credit as a dominant force.
They're a very good defense. They're a very, very good defense. And any negativity toward the Eagles was based on their offense, which was unwatchable.
Sure, but even that they roll three quality running backs. They pretty much keep a dry under wraps, and then they bust him out in the fourth quarter when everybody's tired, and he's like a freight train rolling through it. And Clement is a quality back, so
oh yeah.
They still have talent around Foles. You know?
Yeah, and I mean it's just they're when they get Wentz back and Jeffrey back, that'll be the real. You know, the real Eagles team.
Sure, but even without him,
to get the win, this week
they got a soft. They got a soft Tampa game this week, so I think you'll see improvement out of their offense, Foles. And like I said before, when do you see Zach Ertz drop two passes? I haven't seen him drop like one in years. So.
He certainly didn't drop the game-winning pass in the Super Bowl, John. He certainly didn't drop that. So.
All right, let's get over it, Raj. You got your five rings. You know, you guys want to be greedy. You can't win every year. Let's try to get past it.
All right, moving on. So from so John thought that game was a little less ugly than I did. I thought the game was ugly. So moving on from
the first three quarters. I thought the fourth quarter, like any game, could be saved with a last few minutes where the lead goes back and forth and it comes down to the end. So I have a soft spot for any game that comes down to the end.
And you know, it was exciting. Not to belabor the point, I have never been more sure of anything than I was that they were not going to get a touchdown at the end. Once their best chance was when Julio caught the long one and the guy tackled him, you know, at the around his ankles.
About the 30. Nick, we're gonna have to question why they just abandoned the running game. They have Freeman and Coleman, and
Freeman was dinged. Freeman got hurt.
Yeah.
But Coleman looked good, and I mean, at the beginning of the game, they ran it to Freeman three times and threw it to him once from the 2 yard line and didn't get in. So they were trying something different.
They really abandoned the running game. We could do a whole show on that. So
the Falcons lost the game at the beginning. I mean, they dominated the first quarter of that game, and to to walk away.
It was only 6-3,
Field goals, 3-0. I mean, it's just they should have been up 17-0. And
yeah, you're bringing up more layers. So when it's 0-0 and you go down there, you just got to get points on the board. You got to get the zero off the board. Quinn is already got in his head about last year, and he went for it on 0-0. He went for the touchdown. Just get the 3 points. I'm always in favor of getting the zero off the board first, and then later on you can get risky with the on your fourth and twos. But
well, especially when it looked like it's not like they were getting close. Like, I mean, they just got stuffed. So I'm with you.
Yeah.
They should have taken three there, but woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yep.
All right, so from bad to worse, Steelers-Browns. So the Browns improve upon last year's record, do something they did not do all of last season, and that's not lose.
They're undefeated.
They're undefeated. Ugly game. Ugly and exciting. It was exciting, but it was, again, an ugly game. I thought somehow, I thought both teams kind of underperformed. The Browns had some hype, and you would have thought that if the Steelers would have come into Cleveland and play the way they did, that the Browns would win the game. I mean, the Steelers did everything they possibly could to give it to them. How much do you think the Steelers missed Bell? I have a take on this, but we'll get yours.
Connor just hurt him with that big fumble, but then again, they had a shitload of turnovers, but otherwise, Connor was solid. So this game was mostly the turnovers that did them in. So they didn't really miss him this game, but they will eventually if his holdout continues. But Connor filled the nights. Other than that fumble, he had a quality game.
He played great. I thought, I think they missed him more. I think the distraction that they just did not seem in sync kind of the whole game long. And I think the coaches have, Tomlin, and they haven't done a real good job of keeping the distraction down. Like, not to talk about the Pats, and it's not just the Pats, but most organizations, if a guy doesn't report, the words you're getting are, we're gonna go out there with the guys we have, and you essentially they'll act like the guy doesn't exist, right? If he's not with the team, he's not part of the team, and that's that.
Especially that's usually like an unwritten rule in a locker room. You don't talk about another guy's money because eventually you're going to come up for contract negotiations, and you don't want guys talking shit about what you're making. So they kind of went against that. A few guys that definitely crapped on Bell. So
then Brown came out and defended Bell, and Tomlin talked about Bell. They're a good team without him. I mean, it's just. Like, if anything, they're emboldening him to thinking he's more important than he is because they can't stop talking about him even though he's not there.
But that's kind of been the culture that, and he's been getting some criticism now that Tomlin created there, where guys, Antonio Brown sometimes goes off at the mouth and is a little hard to control. So that's the kind of culture that he's created over there. Hey, they're up there every year, they're contending and they're in the playoffs, so you can't knock them, but. The those that say that criticize them for not winning the Super Bowl the past few years, that's something they always jump on.
Yeah, and I think it's valid. With that said, I don't know about you, I'm not too worried about them. I mean, I think some of this is rust, some of it was Bell not being there, some of it's Roethlisberger on the road. He's just, for whatever reason, he's not the same guy on the road as he is. As he is at
home. But also,
it was kind of fluky how the Browns came back at the end. I think.
Let's give credit to Myles Garrett, though. What a beast.
Oh, he's a stud.
He looks like he could be make a defensive player of the year run. If he keeps playing like that, the Browns, he's going to give the Browns a chance to actually win a few games.
Oh, man. I mean, with all that said that the Steelers didn't play well, the Browns, while, not looking like a division winner or anything, they did look better. Tyrod did not look better. Tyrod had an awful game.
With a couple more throws, they could have got the W.
I think one more
runs
game.
Of scrambles.
Well, his big calling card is supposed to be, he's accurate and doesn't make mistakes, right? What was he, 15 for 40 or something like that? And
he doesn't turn the ball over, but he throws a pretty deep ball. But sometimes like a simple like 7 yard out, he's very inaccurate on the short passes.
Yeah, and he does give you stuff with his legs, but I think one more game like that, and I think they almost have to give Mayfield a shot if Tyrod's not playing well. You know what I mean?
They figure this season's a wash, and they don't want to get Mayfield just killed right yet. They'll have him ready for the back half of the season. They're going to be patient on that. But also last week you crapped on Hugh Jackson, and unfortunately, even in a tie, it was well deserved. I mean, they had the game right on their hands when they picked off or the fumble, whatever you want to call it, and then they return it to the 10. And in Browns fashion, they get a penalty that moves them back, and they have no timeout, so they have a chance to run one play. And Jackson's brilliance, they run a play and they go back about 2-3 more yards, which they didn't really afford to do, making the field goal even harder. It's just like some coaches. They're good motivators, and they keep the locker room together. And maybe he's good with the discipline problems, but when it comes to game management, there's just some coaches that just don't have it, and you could tell that if you keep it close, Hugh is gonna blow it.
I mean, his win loss record speaks for itself.
Yeah. So, like Bill Parcells says, you are what your record is. You are what your record says you are.
Next up, I mean, we get a couple here that we can kind of touch on lightly. Bengals, Colts. Couple takeaways. I thought, I did predict that the Bengals would be better than people thought, and they looked good. It was a good road win for them. Luck looked like he was he's a little rusty, but all in all, he did look like himself. So the NFL's better when Andrew Luck's in it. But I think what you guys mentioned about the rest of the Colts roster being terrible, particularly their defense, that also rang true. So I think the takeaways here are maybe the Bengals are a little feisty this year, and it's good to have Andrew Luck back, but the Colts probably aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, also the Bengals have some playmakers on defense. Made that last play. That kid Fedulum made that last play where he stripped the guy and he scooped it up and took it for and took it to the house. That was some play for he's like a 6th round draft pick. So
that was a heck of a play.
So I was impressed with the Bengals on the road. Dalton is what he is. I don't think he's as terrible as you guys say he is. But he does make like one or two passes each game. Of course, I think it was his first pass of the game that went for a pick. So he has those horrible passes, but overall, he's not as bad as you guys make him out to be.
No, I mean, no need to lump me in there, John. I predicted the Bengals to make the playoffs. The Mixon.
Well, it's only one game. It's only one game. Don't pat yourself on the back yet.
But, Joe Mixon looked really good too, and if he can take a step forward. They have a lot of weapons on offense because John Ross caught a touchdown too. So I mean they're rolling out a bunch of first round picks.
And not only that, this week they got the Ravens, and they pretty much have the Ravens number. So once you get off the 2-0, you could roll from there. Anything could happen.
Absolutely. The next game I thought was the worst game of the weekend: Titans Dolphins. Between all the delays and then just the
did it end yet? Did it end just, yet?
The terrible play on the field. I mean, the Dolphins win this one. The Titans, us and others kind of talked about them like they could have a contending team this year. And I mean, they really looked bad. I mean, I thought they looked just awful. Game doesn't make a season, but they have some work to do.
That's a tough spot with the delays for a coach coaching his first game, and as we saw with all the coaches, no coach coaching that first game won. They all pretty much struggled, and some struggled badly, as we'll get to. But that's a tough spot there. We have to have your guys delayed for hours like that.
Yeah,
so.
We'll give
Reich a mulligan on that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's to your point. Having two just like 3 or 4 hour, whatever they were, delays in the middle of the game is just kind of throws you all off. But so I don't have a whole lot there. I think, my opinion of the Dolphins did not particularly change with that win. And The Titans were disappointing, but give them a
from what little I saw, it is that the Dolphins ran the ball well. Their offensive line might keep them in some games. So.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll keep an eye on them. Tannehill actually played pretty well, too, which is probably a complete aberration, but we'll see.
Yeah. When you get off a solid offensive line play, that can make any quarterback.
It's true. 49ers Vikings. So Jimmy G takes his first, I believe that's his first loss as a starting quarterback in the NFL. He threw three picks, I believe. Vikings are tough. 24-16. I mean, I caught a lot of this game. I thought the Vikings played well. The Niners, I think, it's kind of tough to gauge, right? So if the Vikings are really loaded, then the Niners looked pretty good because they're in Minnesota. They kept the game close. They had chances to tie. Jimmy G can play better than that. I mean, he had a bad game. Cousins looked good in his first. He looked like an upgrade on Keenum, but Vikings did have the. Even though I think at least I didn't think that they were that they might. I thought they may take a step back this year. They watching the game, they really did have the look of a division winner, playoff contender, stud team. I don't know if that's what you.
It's one game, but that's a tough spot for Jimmy G. Their defense looked dominant, but then again, he threw one horrific pass that went for a pick six that kind of showed everybody, hey, let's maybe pump the brakes before putting him in the Hall of Fame. I mean, they already gave him after five games. They already gave him his 20 whatever the fuck million contract. So he threw a horrific pick six, but then he made up for it. During the comeback, where he threw a beautiful Montana like way, he was rolling to his left and he threw a perfect dart in the end zone. And like you said, he kept him in the game. And so even with three picks, and they still only lost by one score.
Yeah, yeah, and that was a great touchdown pass. The Dante Pettis, the rookie receiver they have, that was a great catch by him too.
Yeah, but he needs more weapons. I think did Goodwin even play?
He got hurt.
Like, shut out.
Goodwin, oh, okay. Goodwin got hurt right at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, that hurt him, yeah.
Jimmy G and Garcon haven't had the best chemistry for whatever reason.
Yeah, Garcon's a good number two, number three receiver, but he's not going to be if he's your number one, you're going to struggle.
Yeah, really, their number one option in the passing game was Kittle. Kittle made a bunch of nice plays. Jimmy G, if he likes the tight end, Kittle could be a nice little nice sleeper as a good tight end in the league.
Yep.
All right, moving right along, Pats, Texans. So, I mean, in retrospect, this probably went the way we should have seen it going. Watson's not a rookie, but he might as well be a rookie, right? Which is fifth or sixth career star. Belichick's always kind of eaten up young quarterbacks. Texans coming into New England. Pats looked good. Gronk looked good. I don't think this is an indictment on the Texans. I mean, Watson really looked bad, but I think you can chalk some of that up to Belichick's scheme and the Pats' improved defense. But I still think the Texans are a good team. I don't think this is a total indictment on them as a horrible team or anything. It's just going to New England first week of the season is a tough spot.
Yeah, you can't get much rougher draw than that. But Watson, it was like night and day from last year. He really put on a show in New England. But then again, that's it goes back to what we were talking about. That's just rust. He hasn't played. He was hurt and he barely. And from barely playing in the preseason, so he'll get better. That's in a way for the Texans. It's good to get the Pats week one out the way, and then they can move on to some winnable games. That's a rough draw with all the guys coming back from injury. I don't think they expected to go in and get a W. I did see a lot of people pick them, but I wasn't expecting
craziness.
That.
And they kept it close.
Well, they kept it close. Yeah. You know, people are drawn back where the Pats lost a couple openers. So. But it's mostly Hatriot. Hatriot's hoping that.
Don't we know it, John? Next up, our big shock of the weekend. Fitzmagic, baby. Fitzmagic.
The New Orleans defense was Fitztragic. Jesus.
Yeah, so I think we talked about this on our previous show that on paper, New Orleans looks and I mean, they're, on paper, they're a great team. And they, I mean, their offense played great.
We talked about it, but they made me look bad because I was hyping up their defense. I was saying that there wasn't the same old Saints of the past. How soft they weren't the same soft Saints, and they go out and they throw this up there. So that was a disappointment.
There was a worry, right? There was a worry that there would be some kind of hangover just from the way that they lost that game, right? The way that they lost to the Vikings, such an awful way to lose in the playoffs, and.
Yep.
That defense just came out. I mean, that looked. I mean, like you said, the old Saints, where every game was like this. That's what that defense looked like. I mean, Fitzpatrick played well, but I mean, guys are just running free all over the place. I mean, DeSean Jackson, they let him get loose twice. I mean, Marshawn Lattimore had Evans, who's not even like a real burner, run right by him on a long touchdown. So I guess it can go one of two ways from here. This could be a huge wake-up call for the Saints D, and they could get it together right away, immediately. Or it could be a harbinger of bad things to come. I would lean toward the wake-up call, and probably at the end of the day, this might have been good for them.
Yeah, I got faith in Sean Payton. Every week one of every season, there's always one crazy upset that nobody sees, and this is it. But you got to give Fitz playing well. He played phenomenal. He threw some of the prettiest deep balls that you know usually come from Rodgers, Brady. Like I know it's just one game, and he also has the capability of throwing six picks this weekend. That's pretty much Fitz's story, but. And also, there was Breeze was leading a furious comeback, and at 48-40, if the Saints made one stop, they would have gave Drew a chance with 2 minutes left to get the ball back and a chance to tie it up. It fits on 3rd and 11. He ran. He scrambled for it. Yeah, he ran for like 15 yards and dusted the game.
That's a microcosm of how bad of a day the Saints defense had. But if they got the ball back, there was no way the Bucs were stopping them. I mean, definitely not.
Yeah.
What do you think? So, real quick. So the Bucs, Fitzpatrick has had these hot streaks in his career. If he can get hot for two or three games for them, and leave them at 2-1, 3-0, 4-0 for when Winston comes back, do you think they can be that surprise team that could sneak into the playoffs?
Oh yeah, definitely. There's some talent there where it could, but I don't say. I think Jameis will come back no matter what. Because who they got? They got Philly this week, and for week three, who do they got?
They have Philadelphia, and then they have at Chicago. Oh, I'm sorry, Philly, and then Pittsburgh, and then at Chicago. Home for Philly, home for Pittsburgh, at Chicago. That's brutal.
Jesus, that's a rough one. They're glad they jumped on the Saints for that one because they're looking at a 0-3, possible 0-4 burger right there. So that was a big lift, yeah. I don't see them getting another one with Fitz. It'll be 1-2 when Jameis comes back.
I'm probably being a hater, but while I wouldn't predict it, it wouldn't shock me if they win. If they
beat the Steelers, yeah.
No, Philly. I think they can beat Philly at home.
Yeah.
And it's solely because of gun to my head, I would pick Philly to win the game. But with that offense Philly has, like with Foles, I mean, they're capable of just scoring like 13 points, you know. So even as good as their defense is, if Fitzy can get to 17, he's got a shot to win the game.
Yeah, well, like I said before, I have faith in Philly's defense that they're not going to give up 48 like the Saints.
I know that. The Eagles aren't scoring 40 either.
I'm sorry. I said I don't want to go heavy on the predictions, but here we are playing Nostradufuses over here. But
Hey, well,
it's all good.
The people, our loyal listeners, all three of them, want to know what we think. They want to know what we think. These guys are on the edge of their seat. And gals, of course. Because I think my wife is probably one of those three listeners.
If gambling is legal in your state, bet the under on Dallas Giants this week. that's the one lock.
Speaking of the Giants.
Back again. I'm a reformed gambler, but that's the one thing that jumps out at me.
Speaking of the Giants, Jags-Giants.
Boy.
Overall,
the thrill
I mean,
of victory and the agony of defeat.
I know the way that they lost the game sucked. I think even if he catches the punts, they don't have a snowball's chance in hell of going all the way down
no
the field.
There's no way. I'm not one of those fans that chalks it up to one game. Giant fans get on Twitter and they want to cut the stupid punt returner, or they want to blame Eric Flowers, who is a big part of it. He's just a disaster on the left tackle. But there was a lot of little things that the Giants need to clean up. Eli missed Beckham on a couple possible TDs. And also, Ingram and Shepard had like some really debilitating drops. When you drop on a third and five or third and six, when you drop a pass, that's like a turnover. So outside of Barkley and Beckham, they need the other guys to step up. And Ingram and Shepard, not only did they have some drops, they also – there was a few like 50-50 balls where the guys, they got to fight for that. They got to give Eli a little help there. But then again, he's not innocent. If he's going to get the $20 tab, $20 million tab, he's got to get the ball in the end zone at least once. But this is a tough draw. Jacksonville is one of the best defenses in the league, if not the best. They got playmakers left and right. Even from the linebacker spot, Miles Jack and Telvin Smith. They let Beckham get his 11 catches, but they wrapped him up right after that, and they didn't let him get much yak. So I was impressed with Jacksonville.
Yeah, and I was impressed with the Giants too, because Jacksonville came to play. This wasn't the Jags not having a good game. I thought Jacksonville played well, and the Giants hung right with them. I think as a Giants fan, you should be encouraged with Beckham. Beckham looked healthy. Completely yes. healthy, which is really, really important. And
one big thing, I was impressed with Shermer. Out of all the first year coaches, I liked his play calling. He did one horrible challenge, which he's got to clean up on because we're spoiled. Because Tom Coughlin back in the days was the master of the challenges. He was almost perfect. So he did one big challenge. That's a big key to being a quality coach is knowing having that guy in the booth giving you the thumbs up and when to make a challenge. So, but otherwise, his play calling flow, there was no problems, and he kept the team in the game and he kept the guys playing hard. So it was an encouraging debut for the HC. But when you get close like that, you want to get that W, especially you brought it up last week. They got a murderous the first seven games. So. We're hoping at best for 3-4, 4-3 in Giant Nation. But I look at it and I see a 2-5 burger coming up, if that. So
Barkley
we'll
looked like the real deal, which is
he had a big home run and he had a nice play on a screen, a nice 18-yarder on a screenplay. But I want to see more consistency. I want to see more like to compare it to baseball, more singles instead of being a home run hitter. I want to see more like Ezekiel Elliott type, moving more of the chains, more first rounds. I'm just going by one game. Yeah, I'm just going by one
no,
game.
No, I mean, even I think if you look at his look at just the way he plays, the way he's built, he kind of reminds me of Barry Sanders a little bit, honestly.
But unfortunately, with Barry Sanders, you might get a negative 1 yard game,
right?
Because there was and also there was a couple plays that. On third and one, third and two, fourth and one, he was a yard short, and you'd just like to see him get that extra yard. So I'm not giving him fellatio yet. Although that was a dynamic run, and especially at that time of the game where the Giants just had the pick six, and a lot of the fans were heading for the exit, and he brought him right back in the game. He's got that dynamic type talent where he could just bring you right back in the game.
And you got to think against defenses that aren't Jacksonville. the sledding's going to be a little bit easier on 3rd and 2 and 4th and 1. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I'm not being too critical, but I would like to see more of the screen pass, more of him in the pass game. He only caught 2 passes, and like I said, one of them was a dynamic 18-yard play, which was like a highlight reel in itself. But I would like to see more that out of passing. But that goes back to the brutal offensive line. Thank you, Nate Solder, the highest paid offensive line contract in the league, put up a fart bomb on his debut. But it's only one game, but hopefully it'll get better from there.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Solder will be solid. Flowers.
He's solid.
Flowers no, really doesn't disaster. Belong starting. Yeah. But, you know.
But then again, that shows that they probably don't have even a decent backup. And it's not just the Giants. You see teams around the league, when they lose a starting offensive lineman, there's not just a guy you could pick up off the street that you could just put in there at left tackle. That's the quality backups are underrated.
That's a good segue. It's a good segue, John, to our next game.
Okay. Good.
Bills.
Had enough of the Giants.
Bills Ravens. So
quality backups. Well,
the Bills lost their starting line, offensive line in the offseason, which was a big harbinger of. I think we said, I don't know if everybody agreed, but basically the consensus opinion is before this week that they're one of the worst teams in the NFL. I felt like they are the worst team in the NFL. I think there's not a lot of doubt now. They are the worst team in the NFL, and it's a real like toxic mix for poor Josh Allen. Peterman is just so awful that they can't play him. Even though Allen, of all the rookie quarterbacks, should be a guy who's not playing. You know, just he's a guy, he's got all the tools, but he needs to learn the game a little bit. And he's going to get...
And also, you don't want to get him killed behind that brutal offensive line. They should think about bailing out Richie Incognito for one last run.
So they named Allen the starter, and it's solely because of how pitiful. Peterman is so bad. I mean, I could have gone out there and done what he did, right? And it's the second time it's happened, but the Bills were so bad. I don't think the game really tells you anything about the Ravens. I mean, they were playing.
Yeah, Peterman gives you no chance. That's got to be debilitating as a fan, when especially coming off your first playoff appearance in whatever years. And Peterman, you actually have no shot with that offensive line and with Peterman, and you want to save. And you don't want to just throw Rosen out there, Allen. I mean, you don't want to throw him out there and get him killed in his first year and break any sort of confidence he has. So they're in a rough spot.
Yep.
It's going to be a long year in Buffalo.
It is. Allen's starting this week, and he's probably going to get killed. Like you say. But moving on. I thought the most impressive team of the week. Chiefs Chargers, Chiefs winning 38-28 on the road in San Diego. I thought they looked great. Their defense is going to – they're going to be a fun team to watch because their defense is – they've lost a lot of the players on their defense, so their defense isn't that good. But Mahomes and Tyreek Hill looks like just a lethal combination. I mean, they were connecting. They showed good chemistry in the preseason, and it's really it carried over. And I mean, Mahomes looks like the real deal, and Hill is just—I've never seen a guy like that. I don't know. I'm trying to think of who to compare him to, where he's just like that much faster than everybody else. Like they just can't catch him. So it's could be the start of big things in Kansas City.
Yeah, and they didn't even need Travis Kelce, who only had like one catch, but. But their defense, though, looks pitiful. The Chargers dropped about 3 or 4 potential touchdowns, and that didn't help either. So Kansas City is going to be a team you want to go on the over every game.
They play in Pittsburgh this week. That could be 50-49.
Yeah, we'll see. Though Pittsburgh's kind of had their number. We'll see if the trend continues or if. Or if all the turmoil in Pittsburgh changes that things, because the Steelers have really had their number.
Yeah, agreed. Well, maybe the new quarterback. The kid looks, I mean, I like him. I like him. He's like the anti Alex Smith. You can see why. And not that, I mean, Alex Smith played very well. Not that there's anything wrong with Alex Smith, but you can see why Reed dealt him and wanted to get this kid on the field. He has to have the biggest arm in the league.
Yeah, how can you not like him, man? So far everything looks like a win-win for them. But they have to shore up their defense, otherwise they're not gonna contend in that West.
Yeah. Then a quick hit on the Broncos Seahawks. I think the game kind of went the way we expected it to go. Russell Wilson kind of running for his life. Keenum. A little good, a little bad with Keenum, but he's better than anyone they had last year.
That was the surprising part, though, because Keenum's not usually that reckless and with the three picks, so he's got to shore that up. But at least he made up for it with the and they have a lot of nice weapons, Denver, that people weren't really hyping up. Lindsay,
he's an undrafted rookie.
Yeah, so they have some under-the-radar weapons along with their Demaryius Thomas and Sanders. So.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing with Sanders and Thomas, I mean, they've been weapons, and it's like they went from, like, Peyton made them better than they really were, right? And then they went from that to having, you know, like a Peterman type of guys back there.
Paxton,
you know,
Lynch and Seaman.
Who make these guys look worse than what they are. I think... You know, Keenum's a good middle-of-the-road quarterback, and I think what you saw this week with Sanders and Thomas shows that they both still have it, and I think this is a good team. I think this team's a force.
No, and their defense actually was a little soft. They had a little shaky game. They kept Seattle in it, but their defense is going to prove. When you got Von Miller, you're gonna be a threat to win any game.
Oh, and it's not just him either, because, I mean, Chubb...
Sure.
And others. And, I mean, the Seahawks fought valiantly. I mean, they're always in the game because of Wilson. He's that good. But, like, the touchdown to Tyler Lockett was just a blown coverage. You know, he's running by himself 50 yards out there. You know, that's the kind
of
thing.
Sure, and the tight end, too. They ignored that tight end. Disla was more of like a blocking guy, so they kind of ignored him. That was like a freak game for him.
Redskins, Cardinals, big Adrian Peterson revenge game. Take away from this, I think Alex Smith's going to be good for them. I think the Redskins are they look like a solid bet for 8-8. And Peterson, I don't know if he can keep it up, but I mean the guy is a physical freak. I mean, to do what he, you know, not only he did that when he came back from the ACL injury in like 7 months and then broke the rushing record, and then now this, he's 33 years old, and he looked like a 25-year-old kid. He played great.
Yeah, the big takeaway from this, though, is first game coach for Wilkes, which was the second most horrendous debut of the week, which we'll get to the most horrendous one later. But he did not have them guys ready to play to throw up a fart bomb like that on your home versus a mediocre opponent like the Redskins. But then again, maybe we're wrong. Maybe the Redskins are better than we thought, but I don't think much of them. But this team was not ready to play. Maybe the Johnson was a little rusty for being out so long, but that's not a good look for that coach, the way they came out there.
I don't think much of Sam Bradford, even when he's healthy. I said something about those days. It's just a dink and dunk guy. I feel like I just don't think, you know, he's got a little Tannehill to him where I just don't think he's any good. But to me, the faster Josh Rosen gets in there, the better for them.
Yeah, but it's the same thing like with Allen, though. You don't want to put him in there too early behind a Swiss cheese offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals
you don't want to.
They're not the
You Bills. Don't want to get him killed early, yeah.
It's not a bad situation for a kid, having Larry Fitzgerald and Johnson. You know, those are two real premier guys. I mean, they scored 6 points. And the six came in garbage time.
I don't want to kill Wilk after one game, but there's a history of defensive coordinators getting promoted and just being clueless as a head coach, and it looks like two guys are carrying on that tradition. As we'll get to another one who made Wilk look like Vince Lombardi.
Cowboys, Panthers. The big takeaway for me in this one was just how bad the Cowboys' offense looked. They're going to be a boring team to watch all year. I thought the Panthers didn't even play good. Like, the Panthers, you know, played far below what they're capable of. And Dallas never even really seemed like a threat. I'm fine with you getting rid of Dez Bryant because he makes too much money. But you got to bring somebody else in who's, you know, Allen Hurns isn't a number one receiver in the NFL. So you have Dak and Zeke and just nothing at all around them. And I think it's a long year for the Cowboys.
I'm gonna have to disagree a little. You have to put a little more on Dak, because I was watching Cole Beasley was open all game, and a lot of times Dak was short. And Beasley got a bunch of catches, but Prescott was inaccurate on a lot of passes. So I'm not going to put it all on the lack of receivers and Dez. But that's the kind of game that Carolina plays, though. They don't blow you out, but they don't blow anybody out. They keep kind of everybody in the game. But also on the other hand, they stay in the games themselves. And that game was misleading, because they was up 16-0. If they hit that extra point, it's not even a game. They go up 3-17. So they missed that crucial extra point, and that actually kept Dallas in the game. And Dallas had two chances to at 16-8 to tie it up, but they did nothing. I have to put it more on Dak. He's really regressed since his first year. So once again, you know, Cowboy Twitter and fans, they want to blame it on lack of receivers. I'll blame it on one thing, but I don't think Dak got enough of the criticism there, because some of his passes, I saw receivers getting open, and he was just inaccurate on his passes. But
yeah, I agree.
And then again,
that.
Quick judgment on one game, but also I don't understand. And has anybody picked up Bailey? Bailey has been like one of the best kickers in the league the past 5 years.
Yeah, I mean he was,
and they cut him, and then this guy that was another big play this game that did the guy missed a field goal. I forget his name, but I don't know. I guess the
Marr, like the Bill Marr. Right.
Uh huh. Okay. Yeah. But I don't understand how nobody picked up Bailey. He's one of the best kickers.
Didn't he at the end of last year? Didn't he have a bad second half where he shanked a bunch of field goals? Maybe he kind of. Who knows? Maybe he lost it. But
yeah, either that or it's his last year, and they're gonna have to pay him next year. So they got ahead of the curve early. But
yeah, and I don't disagree with you that Dak is never going to be Aaron Rodgers, you know, or guy. He is what he is. I mean, he's a guy he can use a good running game. I think he throws a pretty good deep ball. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He doesn't throw a lot of picks. The thing I mentioned with the receivers is it's just like even with Beasley, right? I mean, everything's like within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage, and they just don't have
anybody. Oh, sure, slot. Yeah.
They don't have anybody to take the top off the defense. And Elliott, I mean, Elliott is great. I mean, you can make an argument he's the best back in football. And I mean, but, you know, there's going to be nine guys in the box all season because there's no reason to double cover.
Yeah, we'll see. Gallup is their speed guy. We'll see if he emerges. He didn't really do much, but.
Yeah, he looked promising in the preseason.
And also, that's got to be Jason Witten is just a huge loss. And I mean, anytime a quarterback's been in trouble for the past 15 years, going back to Romo, you could just rely on Witten to get open and move those chains for those first downs. So that's a huge loss, even huger than Dez, I think.
Agreed. All right, then Sunday night, we had one for the ages. I don't know what we can say that everybody else has it already said. Aaron Rodgers goes down. Looked like a multiple week injury when it happened, and he was on the golf cart. Kaiser came in, and you know,
wow,
it was like Cleveland. It was like Cleveland all over again. The Bears looked fantastic. The Bears looked phenomenal for the first half of that game. I think I had talked about how I thought they had potential to be this year's Rams, and I mean the offense looked good, Trubisky looked good, and Rodgers comes back in and It was a combination. I think the Bears very much got like a little, and I'd like to get your thoughts too, but the Bears, once they got up 20-0, had a bit of a deer in the headlights playing not to lose thing going on. And once Rodgers started going downhill, rolling downhill, it was like you could tell that the Bears were tight. But he's incredible. I mean, he's absolutely incredible, and hats off to him. But I think there's better days ahead for the Bears. I hope this doesn't mentally destroy them.
Oh no, I don't think so. I mean, obviously Khalil Mack was a great pickup, but you nailed it right on the head. Rodgers and Brady, going back to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, that they intimidate the other team's offense. Like the other team offense and play call starts panicking because they're like, oh, we can't give the ball back to Aaron, and we can't give the ball back to Brady, which we saw in the Falcons a little bit in that Super Bowl. So those are just those iconic players where it even affects the other team's offense. They had a chance to salt the game away at 20-17, and they had to settle for a field goal. There was a big third one play, and the coach said maybe they should have kept on the ground instead of running for the goal. The coach, Nagy, it's his first game. He got a little tricky, and he went for a pass, and it didn't connect. So, but there was a couple plays there. One time, Fuller had had an interception on Rodgers right in his chest.
That was two plays before the touchdown to Cobb.
Yep. Yeah. So little things like that to clean up. But you saw when Kaiser went in there. You see, like, if Aaron goes down, the Packer season is over. But then again, you could pretty much say that about 25-30 teams. Who else do you think besides the Saints with Teddy Bridgewater? Who else do you think, and obviously like the Eagles, but who else do you think that their season isn't over if their quarterback goes down like that?
Yeah,
there's very few.
There's very few, and it's more teams like, you know, the Ravens would be fine. It's teams teams who don't have a great quarterback. The Jags might be okay. Pats are a great team, but with Brady goes down, I mean, they're not going to win a Super Bowl with Brian Hoyer, you know? So Steelers, if Roethlisberger goes down, they're done.
Kaiser just treats the ball like a hand grenade. I mean, come on. It's just...
I feel like he's got a lot of natural talent, too. Like, and he just, I don't know if it's between the years with him, but it just hasn't worked out.
He's thrown in there too early. And that's an example how you can ruin a guy. Like last year, it's his first year as a rookie. Back in the days, a rookie would sit for 3-4 years, and they throw him right in there and into that shit show with Cleveland. And that could ruin a guy. So,
yep. But, yeah, so I think we'll get to it. But probably the highlight game of the week this week is Minnesota going to Green Bay. It's a great, great matchup. Provided Rodgers can play. As of now, it looks like he's going to, but there's still some question there. Then, John, you've alluded to this next one a couple of times, so I'll just say the score, and I'm going to let you give your critique. Jets 48, Lions 17 in Detroit, Monday Night Football.
Okay, well, let's just say it was a competitive game at halftime and at the beginning and the third quarter, but obviously, one coach that was a little more experienced made some halftime adjustments, and I don't know what the other coach told his team, but the second half was quite different there. I don't know what your former defensive coordinator, Mr. Patricia, told his team at halftime, but it didn't exactly it wasn't exactly a master motivator, and whatever it was, as a matter, when you have the other team, the Jets in the press were saying that they were calling out the Lions plays in the second half. So if that happens on your first game of coaching, that's not a good look. It's going to look like some rough goings for Mr. Patricia. He might even lose a couple pounds. He might miss a couple meals from in the future.
And you're even hearing rumblings out of Detroit that the veterans aren't happy with him already, that, you know, working him too hard at the early in the off season.
Yeah, if you're going to be like Belichick, have the 5 rings first, and then you could act like an asshole.
And I mean, you know, it's one of those hirings, too, where they hired him before the Super Bowl. And I swear, by the time the Super Bowl ended, I think they maybe, like, would have taken it back if they could.
Because especially he had a little Me Too incident, which accusations and It's early, but it looks like being selfish, it looks like a thank God, because he was the Giants' first choice. Sherman actually wasn't their first choice. So.
Oh yeah, hopefully
it turns out as good as because you remember back a few years ago, the Eagles' first choice was Ben McAdoo, and the Giants rushed to get him, and then the Eagles got stuck with Peterson, and look how that turned out. Now the guy's got a fucking statue in front of the stadium. So it's always weird how that happens with the second choice. So sometimes the second choice is best.
It's true. It does look like it's going to be a bit of a dumpster fire in Detroit this year.
Nah, based on one game, it's you couldn't start any worse. But also, speaking of not starting any worse, what do you think of Mr. Darnold? Was that planned? He probably said, let me start my career off at rock bottom, and that way anything from there can go up, because after that first pass, things looked a little rough, but it was just so impressive the way everybody on the sidelines. He's really got a good core around him with Josh McNown, who's a $10 million assistant coach / quarterback coach / backup quarterback, and it seems like they got him in a good system under Jeremy Bates, who was out of the league for a few years, and but he did have success in the past with Seattle. So, and it was a weird thing, he got disenchanted and he was out of the game for a few years and went to some retreat in the mountains, and he must have talked to Buddha or somebody and came back as a guru. But they really got a positive positive atmosphere around Darnold, and everything coming out of him since his first snap of preseason. It's just the Jet fans got to be pinching themselves because usually there's doom and gloom around their team, but now Jet fans are dreaming of Darnold hoisting Lombardi someday, and it's not a dumb dream. It's pretty realistic. So
he's the real deal, and I mean, I think I think that this year was a throwaway season for them, honestly, and anything they get this year is gravy. But I mean, they're set up. I think he should have gone number one. I said it on draft day. I think Mayfield could end up being decent, but I think there is a good chance that it goes down as another Browns boner that they passed on this kid. And and I hate to say it, but I mean, I know as good as Barkley looks.
That's okay.
It's tough, unfortunate, with a 37, 38-year-old quarterback to have this kid sit in there and not take him, especially when you're a team that doesn't pick that high. It's not like they suck, you know, the Giants, and they don't pick that high that often, and to you passed on somebody who could have led the franchise for the next 15 years.
Yeah, right now it doesn't look too good, and Gettleman and Giants take a lot of heat, but also, as you've seen, you don't really have to suck. Like when the Eagles got Wentz, they traded up, and the Jets traded up to get Darnold. So if a couple of hot quarterbacks come out in the next 2 years, and not all is lost, the Giants could still draft somebody next year, which probably next year they'll probably need an offensive lineman again. So, but in a couple of years, somebody hot coming out, and you don't necessarily have to be 2-14 to get a top pick. You could be creative and trade up, like I said, with the Eagles did and the Jets did.
Yep.
So, not all is lost, but yeah. But that's just playing another side. But right now, it doesn't look good. It looks like it was Giants let one get away.
Last but not least, the most predictable game of the weekend. Last game Monday night, 10-20. Rams 33, Raiders 13. It started.
The score was a little closer than the score. It was competitive for about three quarters.
Yeah, no, the Raiders played pretty good at the beginning, and then Carr really cost them.
That was a brutal. Yeah, that interception was brutal. Yeah, that really took the wind out of their sails. But I was actually impressed, especially the first half where Beast Mode was running right through. The vaunted, you know, the Rams are supposed to have this amazing front four of all time with Donald and Sue and Lynch. That touchdown was very impressive. So it was the Raiders played for Gruden, but that was just a brutal interception. You called it last week that Carr really has gone down, and that pass proved it. That sucked the life out of the whole team in the stadium. That interception, that was a killer.
Awful. But then you got to remember, you talked about this earlier, but the Rams were the poster children. They didn't play anybody the whole preseason. Literally, did not play them.
Yeah, not even dress. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, I mean, that first, you know, this game was almost like a preseason game for them. But you could kind of see that it took them a little while to get rolling. But I think they're a good team, and I agree with you, and I say when I'm wrong. The Raiders came out and played hard for Gruden. They did, and I thought his game plan was better than what I thought it would be. With that said, I just don't think he's got the horses this year.
You're never going to get a game like that out of Cook again. He kept the Raiders in the game by himself. He had a monster game, but that's probably going to be his highlight of the year.
Agreed. All right, so those are our takeaways from week one. Now let's, you know, we're not going to go game by game in week two because nobody wants to listen to us talk for another hour. So we'll pick four or five highlight games to talk about. First one, John, Minnesota Green Bay.
I just want to give a warning. If you take these predictions for what they are, you could look at the official PTBN standings. If you're in a state that has legal gambling, you might want to call up Roger's father, Cowboy Senior, who's our leading expert at the moment. So these predictions are just for fun. Don't take them to the bank. Don't bet the mortgage.
Yes. Please don't bet anything based on what we're saying.
Except the under in the Cowboys-Giants game. Nah, but Minnesota-Green Bay. Even if Rodgers does play, I'm still gonna roll with the Vikings on this one.
Yeah,
I think they're healthier overall, not just the quarterback, and they're a little more ready for the season coming out. I think overall Green Bay will take the division, but in this game, I'm going to look for the Vikings to get off to a 2-0.
Real interesting game being in Lambeau. If Rodgers plays, I mean, the Vikings have some trouble, of course, in Lambeau. I you could see it going either way, but if it's a close game, so I think you get one of two things. Either Minnesota wins by double digits, or if it's a close game, Green Bay is going to be with it's they're tough to beat in close games because of Aaron. So I'll take the Packers in a close one. Other highlight game of the weekend, Kansas City at Pittsburgh.
I'm going to say the Steelers' mojo on the Chiefs keeps going, and I'm not impressed at all with the Chiefs' defense. And I think the Steelers are going to take it at home.
This is another one that I think is very tough to call.
Oh yeah,
I mean, neither. I you could see this game literally being like 45-42 or something crazy like that. Probably won't happen, but the potential is definitely there. Home Roethlisberger coming off that tie. I'm still gonna take Kansas City. I'm a big believer, and I know that kind of all the intangible stuff would point to Pittsburgh. They need to get a win. They're at home. But I really think Kansas City's coming out of the AFC, even with that shit defense.
I'm just a believer. When a team has somebody's number, you just keep rolling with them until they break it. And the Steelers have really dominated the past few over KC. It might be something where Tomlin's got Reed's playbook or something. I don't know.
I don't need these veiled shots about the Pats Giants Super Bowl. John, okay.
I know
who's got whose number.
Maybe
okay?
Tomlin is taping some of the Kansas City's practices. Now, if I said something like that, that would be a bad.
New England at Jacksonville, another big game. I'll go first here. I just, you know, similar to your reasoning behind the Steelers, I'll take the Pats. Just. Until Jacksonville does it, I'm not going to believe that they can do it.
I think if it was later in the season, I'd roll with you. But I think this could be one of those early games where New England comes up a little short.
Very possible. Very possible. It's really an even game. I mean, that defense is for real, and they showed in the playoffs that they can move the ball on the Pats. It looks like Fournette's probably going to play, which would be the big, you know, the big X factor if he didn't. But, yeah, could go either way. And then do two more. Carolina at Atlanta. It's a very interesting game.
I think ATL gets in the win column. They got the extra rest, and they're gonna be extra salty after that bit of defeat. And in these South games, when in doubt, go with the homers. Go with the home team.
I know. I'm gonna go against that.
Wow.
So I think they're gonna really miss Jones and Neal on defense, and I think Carolina goes in there and just like you said earlier, they know how to keep it close, and they know that's how they play. And if there's one team that's not real good in close games, it's the Falcons. So
Atlanta 0-2.
0-2.
Nick and Chad will not be sending you any Christmas cards.
Well, you know, they brought it on themselves, John, with that performance. Giants at Cowboys.
Well, it wasn't horrendous. It wasn't an embarrassment to lose that close. It was just
the way that they lost that game was an embarrassment.
I don't think so. It's just
how many times can you be inside the 10-yard line and not get a touchdown?
Yeah, it happens.
It happens to them a lot.
A lot of shade on the Falcons, then.
Giants, Cowboys. I'll let you go.
I'm going to be picking the Cowboys.
You're picking the Cowboys?
Yes, I'm impressed with the Cowboys' defense, and especially DeMarcus Lawrence in that front four is impressive. And if Sean Lee is healthy, the Giants' offensive line woes are going to – they're going to hurt him again, unfortunately. So,
man, I didn't plan it like this, but I think we're going to be different in all five games.
Someone's
having a bad great. Week. The
most likely somebody will go 2-3, and 3-2 will split the difference. But
I didn't like what I saw.
That's okay.
I didn't like what I saw from the Cowboys last week. I don't believe in their defense really at all, especially their defensive backs. I think Beckham and Engram and, to a lesser extent, Shepard will eat them up. So, Giants.
I hope you're right.
All right, so it's going to be a good week. John and I will be back next Tuesday or Wednesday. I think this format worked real good. If one of our three listeners thinks we should do something different, you know how to get a hold of us. Just let us know. We're happy to accommodate. But I don't know about you, John, but I sat down on Thursday, and I felt like I didn't get off the couch until Monday night. Ate a lot of bad food, and just really enjoyed football. So it's great to have football back.
On Sunday, I have friggin' Chris Hansen gave me such a chub, harder than any woman has ever given me in my life. Seeing his beautiful face on the Red Zone channel was a glorious sight.
I love him, but he did. he had a couple of missteps. It was early. He was a little rusty too.
Yeah, I mean, he needed a preseason too. He didn't play in the preseason. There's no Red Zone in the preseason.
I know. He said something along the lines. I think he said something along the lines of Pittsburgh was like going to run the clock out while the game was tied. That if they got a first down, the game was over. But.
Yeah.
Nobody's perfect. I couldn't do what he does. I give him a lot of credit, but I don't. I'm not going to go so far as to say he gave me a chub, but I do enjoy the guy.
To each his own. That's what makes us. You know, what I eat don't make you shit.
It's a good point. Yep, that's a very interesting way of putting it, but I like it. All right, guys. So, John, thanks so much. Great time, and I hope everybody enjoys the week of football. And we'll talk to you in a few days. Go Pats.
Always a pleasure, Cowboy.
Always
a
pleasure.
Bye-bye. Peace.